Hello and welcome to the Blackout Podcast, where I get to talk to amazing people who do amazing things. And today I have Iola, aka Gafar the Great.
Yes, sir.
Who makes amazing artwork, and your Instagram is actually crazy.
Thank you.
Like, you put one post and it's like, but you also don't put posts often. Why though? Thanks for coming to the podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So, my friend Irene, super talented artist, he had this song, I think, Focus, and then I saw, like, that artwork, it blew my mind. I'm like, what, who is this? And then luckily he tagged you.
Right.
I just had to reach out, like, so let's start with this dude here, Focus. So what's that, like, what's the story here?
Okay, so this is actually supposed to be Rennie. So this is like a caricature, like, representation of him almost. So, like, I've done like a couple of covers for him so far, and it's like the general theme throughout all of them is, I'm not even sure if I should be saying this right now, but like, it's whatever. It's like the general theme is, you know, like a kind of like a back and forth between him and a lady that he's trying to bag, if you will.
Yeah.
And I guess it's just like depicting different stages of their interaction, you know. So this song is kind of just, you know, another one of those stages, you know. And like, I don't really know how to describe how I interpreted it aesthetically. It's just, you know, I took the title of the song, I listened to it, and then I tried to, you know, throw something out there.
Dude, it blew my mind. I thought it was all digital, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you always pencil first before?
I do, for the most part. Every now and then I do digital drawings, but most of my work is graphite or color pencil.
God damn.
And then I'll like scan it and then throw it into like Illustrator or Photoshop.
And then work on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, I keep saying, I try to talk to, you know, super talented people like yourself. And to me, talent is like, can you paint? Can you make music? So, like, are you paint, like, you know, graphics and stuff, and you make all these things, but you do it for an artist and it comes together in this beautiful way. I'm like, I need to know this person. So, thanks for coming today. But let's jump back a bit, though. How did you get into starting to draw and all these things?
It's something I've always done from childhood. You know, I've always been like very absent-minded, you know. So in class, I would be like scribbling on the back of my notebooks, and my dad had like a big massive pile of like scrap paper in his study when I was a kid, and I just used to sit in there for hours and just draw. So it became kind of like it's not, you know, I am someone who believes that like art isn't something you're inherently born with. It's not like a born talent or anything like that. It's just something that you keep doing over and over and over again, and then you kind of find your niche, you find what works for you and develop that. So I think that was just, that's just what I've been doing since I was a kid, you know. I've just been working on it over and over and over again to the point where I've kind of just reached to the point where I'm at now, you know.
Dude. So, okay, fine. Did you, like, I guess, study it at all, or?
I mean, like, I took, you know, like, primary and secondary school art classes, but nothing crazy. I didn't study, like, I didn't go to art school.
Because you're Nigerian, I'm like, man, if you said you went to art school, like, how did you get your parents to agree?
Yeah, no, I would have had to pay for that by myself. That would have had to come out of pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
So what did you decide to study then?
I studied architecture.
Ah, yeah, that's a like cheat code.
Exactly. It's a little loophole.
Right.
So it's like, you can still kind of input the artistic influence into your craft and your work. But then it's also something that your parents can brag to their friends about.
Right.
Like, yeah, my son is an architect. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like a nice little middle ground, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart man. So, okay. So, I mean, what are some of the things you draw in those scrap papers? Were they like specific characters?
Yeah, it was a lot of superhero type things. I actually had a book that it was one of those like how to draw comic book character type mm-hmm. deals, you know. So they would have like the whole skeleton guide, you know, for how to like build up characters from scratch, you know.
Mm.
And looking back, it honestly wasn't the most informative
no?
thing. It was nice to play around with as a kid, you know, but mm-hmm. I kind of just used that as a starting point for all my drawings. And then I would draw like, you know, Marvel and DC characters. And
okay, Marvel versus DC, which do you prefer?
First
to draw and second as like characters on the TV.
That
screen.
Is a very difficult question. That's a hard question. It really depends on what we're talking about. You know, there's everything from like movies to like TV
right.
series to cartoon TV series to like toys.
Fair enough.
So
fair
like
enough.
If okay. we're talking about like the cinematic universe, I'm pretty sure like the unanimous answer is Marvel.
Yeah, it's not fair.
Yeah. But like I really do enjoy DC comic books a lot more than Marvel comic books. I think they're a lot more angsty and I like angsty things.
Yeah.
And I like things that are kind of dark.
Mm.
Marvel comic books, there of course there's dark ones, but there's you know a lot more peppiness to
yeah.
them, and I prefer the darker side of things.
Okay, so of all these characters you drew, if you had to pick three, which one would you always draw every time?
Both
from Marvel and from DC.
So like three from each of them.
Okay, let's do three from each of them first.
Okay. So from Marvel, I used to draw Spider-Man all the time.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah, and then I think just adjacent to that, I used to draw Deadpool a lot, just because Deadpool looks like
kinda.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, kind of.
And then, what would the third one be? After that, it was just like a bunch of random characters I used to draw. Like, I would wake up one day and draw like Juggernaut or something. And then, like, the next day, I'd draw like someone from the X-Men or whatever. So I don't know. For Marvel, I'd say that third spot is undeclared.
Okay, fair enough.
Then for DC, I used to draw Batman all the
time. Of course, Batman. If anybody draw Batman, podcast
yeah,
is over.
Of course, no, that's a given. That's a given.
Okay.
I used to draw Batman all the time. I still think Batman is super cool. That new Batman movie that came out is one of my favorite movies.
Right you know now. What? You know what's his name? The vampire kid. The guy, the new Batman.
Yeah.
I wasn't, you know, when the, like, it's always this thing when Ben Affleck was going to be Batman, everybody lost their shit. When this guy was going to be Batman, everybody lost their shit.
Yeah.
I didn't lose my shit, but I was like, then I saw him in one movie and I was like, okay, there's this movie where he's like, his brother was in jail.
Right.
And he's about to go to jail and he has to try and get this money. And he was very, you know. Have you seen Uncut Gems?
I have not, no.
You need to see it. So the guys that made Uncut Gems made this film with the... God damn, what's his name?
I don't remember his name.
Yeah, the vampire guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, him. So it was good. I was like, okay, yeah. And he delivered, though.
He did.
His car in that movie is sick.
Yeah.
It's sick. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that one scene where... I don't remember who it was. I think it was the Penguin. There was like a really crazy car chase.
It was Penguin. He was chasing the Penguin.
It was crazy. It was super insane. Cool. Yeah, but I used to draw Batman all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I used to draw Aquaman a lot. Looking back, I don't know why. I don't know why.
Is the detail of his scales? Or?
I think so. I think he was just really shiny, and I used to like drawing shiny things. Mm-hmm. Like I like picking like the highlights and things. You know, mm-hmm. like. Where things transition from like dark to light. I don't know, there's something very enjoyable about drawing that type of thing. So, and he was just like a very shiny character. So it was easy to find that type of thing within his like composition. So like I used to draw, I guess that was, looking back, that was why I found his character so interesting to draw. Mm-hmm. Because other than that, there's really nothing appealing about him.
He just fucking swims in water.
Yeah, yeah.
There's this TV show I love, Robot Chicken, do you know it?
Yes.
There's a Robot Chicken episode where they make fun of Aquaman and it makes so much sense. Like, he can't fly, right?
Yeah.
So, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, and some other character, they're like floating in the air. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, come inside. There is Wonder Woman's invisible jet, yeah. right? And he tries to get in, he falls because obviously yeah. all those guys are floating. And anyway, but they kind of got it right with casting this guy as the
yeah.
action,
like yeah,
as
Jason, the real. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, no, he killed that. That yeah. movie was really, I think that movie kind of lifted the DC yeah. cinematic universe yeah. up there, because they were drowning for a while.
Yeah.
They were releasing a lot of garbage.
I know.
but yeah, that one kind of pulled them out of the mud a little it bit. Did.
Okay, so who's the third one?
The third one I would say would be Blue Beetle.
Really?
I used to draw Blue Beetle a lot because, like, he just has, like, a lot of guns and shit, you know? Like, when I was a kid, like, that was just very, very appealing to me, you know? Like,
okay, you know, so we have the bracket now. You didn't mention three from Marvel, but you have 2.5, I guess. Mm-hmm. Two from Marvel and then three from... If you had to take these five people and then narrow it down to three, which three would you always draw?
Batman, of course.
Of course.
Blue Beetle mm-hmm. and Spider-Man. And I would pick Spider-Man because Spider-Man has like so many different like
options.
Costumes
yep,
and
yep.
suits and stuff.
What do you think of the Spider-Verse movies?
I really like them. I actually like the first one slightly
I've not
more.
Seen the second one yet, but the first one is one of the best films
it
I've
was
seen
beautiful.
In a very long time.
It was very beautiful. The storyline was beautiful. Dude. The animation was beautiful. It was very artistic. There was a lot of like pops of color. Mm. It was lively, you know, it was like interesting to the eyes, you know.
I agree. So let's say with your artwork, like making all these things you do, and we have things to go through here, but
yeah.
When it comes to it, like what's your process of creating things?
I have like a list of ideas. So when something pops into my head, I will like deliberate on it for maybe a couple of days just to really clock whether or not it's worth exploring. You know, I end up approaching it is if I think about something and I'm like, okay, that might be a good idea, I'll just sit on it for a couple of days. And if after that I still remember the idea, mm-hmm. then I'm like, okay, maybe this is good enough to pursue. Mm. And then I write it down. So then I have like a list of just art ideas. And then, you know, whenever I get the motivation and I want to start a new piece, I'll just go through the list mm. and pick one that might be appealing. And then, you know, I'll go online and look for references. Sometimes I might just go on Pinterest. It depends on whether or not I'm looking for something specific, because mm. if you're trying to depict something, like sometimes the themes in my pieces are very specific, so I have to look for specific references. Mm. But sometimes I can just like go on Pinterest and pick something or on the other and just kind of like chimera something together, you know. But after I pick the references, I do a sketch. If I'm satisfied with the sketch, then I'll start the final piece. If not, I'll do another sketch. And then when I'm happy with it, I'll, you know, start the final. Mm-hmm. And then the final kind of just depends on what the medium is and the size. Mm. A lot of the smaller pieces I do are just like straight graphite, just pencil. So I'll just do like the outline and then I'll start filling it in or rendering it, as some people would say. Mm. And that, I think, the really enjoyable part of the final piece is actually like drawing everything down and like outlining it. Once you get to that point where you're just like coloring and shading, it's very boring. it's very boring.
But that's when it kind of comes alive.
That's
though.
Why it's such an annoying like dilemma, you know, because on one hand, you just want to leave it like that,
right.
you know, because like that's the part that you have enjoyed. But you know, it's not going to have that oomph, mm. you know, that X factor, so to say. You know, if you don't go through that process of shading it and like making it look realistic or detailed or whatever. So it's very annoying. It's a very, very annoying.
Like, do I? Okay, talk about this amazing work you made here.
Okay, so this piece, I haven't named it yet, but it's kind of the first piece in like a line of like larger pieces that I'm trying to do. So it says there's a kind of like a dialogue that flows through the back. It says, "Peace unto all, but the pigs, politicians, and profit mongers." So it's like a personal manifesto almost, you know, like, I don't know. I think these three groups of people are like very detrimental to our society, so to say. I won't get into it
on a deeper level,
but you know, other than these people, everybody is my friend. It's what essentially I was trying to say in this piece, you know. So it's like, one thing that I like to capture a lot and is, I think, is the theme that I'm approaching this like group of pieces that I'm trying to do is duality.
Oh.
Is opposing themes, you know.
Right.
Like, I think one thing that you have to realize as a human being in order to progress in life is that opposite things can be true at the same time.
See, that's the thing. You know, I think the world is way more gray than we think it is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's why some of the best films I've loved and some of the best stories I've loved is where you can kind of understand where the bad guy is coming
from.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah, because everything is not just, you know, the good guy is good and the bad guy is bad. And the good guy beats the bad guy. Everything, things are a lot more complicated than that.
You know?
So that's the first step to like moving on in life, kind of like moving on from childhood is, you know, getting to that.
A good example of, have you seen Arcane?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
That is like one of the best shows I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
And every character in that show, like I understood
exactly
why everybody was doing that. Yeah. I was like, God damn, that's
exactly
good writing.
Like you couldn't even hate bad guys.
Even, you know, I go why Jinx was that. Like,
yeah,
I understood everybody. Like, okay, fuck you
honestly
guys.
Like straight up until the end of the show, I was like, Jinx is badass as fuck. You know, like I was, even after she went through that whole like crazy.
Yeah.
I was still like this. She's still like, she was so cool.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Yeah. Totally. Okay, yeah, we're on the same project with that. Okay.
But yeah, I really like capturing duality, and this piece is kind of like there's a peace sign on one hand and there's a middle finger on the other hand. So it's like, I can be this, but I can also be that. You know,
how long did you take to make this? And like, how did this live in your idea book first before it became this?
This honestly probably started before I started keeping an idea book.
Okay.
So, I think it was probably after I started this, because this one, I worked on it maybe like 3 days straight, and then like casted it aside for like a month. And then I came back to it and worked on it for like maybe another couple of days. And then after that, I was like, okay, I kind of want to start doing bigger pieces now. Mm-hmm. You know, things that I can hopefully put in like galleries and so on and so forth. Because these smaller pieces are nice, but you can't really display them on a large scale, you know? And, you know, it's also like you can relay a lot more in a larger piece. You can pass your idea across a lot more directly and deliberately with a larger piece. So after that, after I decided, okay, I want to start doing a lot more of these, then that was when I started keeping the list.
How do you decide where the colors go, though?
That is a completely random process.
Oh, okay.
I honestly hate color theory. I think I don't think it is a bad thing. I think some people know how to harness it and some people know how to use it. I do not. I've tried.
But the color, like, it to me, it makes sense. Like, it works.
I think I just use like the base, like the primary school level of color theory to approach my work, you know, like primary colors, secondary colors, and that's pretty much it. You know, like just, I don't put too much thought into colors. Like I'm honestly.
Somebody's gonna watch that, and someone is me, is gonna hate you for saying that. Like, you didn't put thought into this, and it looks like this.
I'm like, okay, I start with one color, and I'm like, okay, what do I think would look nice?
Mm.
Like, what do I think would complement this? And then sometimes if I'm not sure, I think I've just gone through a lot of trial and error,
you know?
So sometimes if I'm not sure, I'll like test it on like a scrap piece of paper. Like I'll just, you know, put like two blotches of each color side by side and see how they'll look.
Right.
But for the most part, I think I've just like tried so many different combinations that I kind of just know just what works for me.
Yeah.
And then also like what other people like what I'll post on Instagram and we'll get like more likes than
versus the other one.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's come to the little pieces. I'll let you do the honors of bringing one out at a time because we talked about Arenier first.
Okay, so should we save the Arenier for last?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what we have here. So I'll pull out some of the earlier ones. So these, I kind of made a lot of these when I was still like messing around with.
This is, okay, so what is the story here?
So this is supposed to be like, they're supposed to just look like a bunch of like ragamuffin kids, like trying to dress up as superheroes, essentially. So I think I titled this Be a Hero, I believe. So like, it's just supposed to be about like chasing things that you know, you want and things that you believe you embody, you know, like if you think there's something within you that you should pursue, you know, even if you look kind of goofy.
Yeah.
So
I love the Batman for sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Batman is my favorite superhero, by the way. So
that's completely understandable.
Okay. Yeah.
This
was this dude.
Is.
Okay, see, how are you saying, and you use minimal color, I'll agree,
yeah.
But you use it in a way that is just like, okay, yeah.
Fuck. It's just like, once you kind of understand blending, then it becomes like, because this is just like red, and then in this corner it's like pink, which is just red, but like different, you know, and then you can just like blend the red into the pink, and then it creates like a transition. And then after that, you don't need color theory. Fuck color theory.
So what is this the story here? Away.
So this, I'm not even really sure. I think I was just feeling very provocative at this point in time.
Wow.
And I wanted to draw something that was like, you know, like who do you think you are?
How long would it even take to make something like this?
These, honestly, I was doing these in like a couple of days. I was really in like a very, very productive period of time. I don't know what it was, but when I was making a lot of these smaller pieces, I was just cranking them out like machine, you know.
Wow.
And I'm trying to get that drive back. It's fizzled out for now, but
okay,
hopefully it'll come back in the future. So this, I was honestly just trying to like mess around with.
So another thing I've seen in your work is you love faces. Let's talk about that a bit. Why?
Honestly, I think just faces and hands are, I just think they're beautiful, you know.
It's funny because I was watching, the guy that created Spawn. So I was watching like a YouTube video about Seth MacFarlane. Is that his name? Anyway, the guy, MacFarlane is his last name. The guy that created Spawn.
Yeah.
And apparently can't draw either hands or legs, one of the two. I mean, that is the thing you love to draw, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just very, I think they're very aesthetically clean.
But like face is pretty much the person, right?
Yeah. So I think, again, like with a face, you can capture so many different things, you know, and it's on one level, it's like, there's so many different faces in the world that, you know, like a different face can tell like a different story. But then on another level, it's also like different emotions can tell different stories. You know, you can relay so much with just a face. And sometimes it's not really necessary to draw anything else. And it's the same thing with hands. Hands are very, very expressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like different, if you put your hand in it, put in one position, it will mean a different thing from if you put your hand in a different position.
Peace and fuck you.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly. Mm. So those two things are just very, very, very expressive.
Mm.
So I feel like I can usually get an idea across with just like a head or a face.
And like you deconstruct it, so because it's almost like, you know, it's a face, but you like,
yeah,
you know, it's crazy. Anyway, what's the story here?
This one isn't like super complex. I was just trying to mess around with like more abstract themes, because I think what I do primarily borders more around like surrealism. And it's not realistic in the sense that it doesn't capture like real life.
Yep.
But it's still like detailed. And it still like has some semblance of reality in
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to stray more away from that with this piece, just because I wanted to like test how far I could push like the abstractism.
Dope.
So I felt like here there's still like a sense of realism in almost, like mm-hmm. if you look closely, you can see that there's an eye somewhere and there's a nose, there's a mouth.
Yeah.
But like it's very, very abstracted. So I was just trying to mess around with that type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You make it look so easy though.
Thank you.
Okay.
This one is, I don't know, just like a random character I was messing around with.
Fuck. I think for me, I mean, I talked about the faces, but the other thing is the detail. So even though you're not drawing a person, it's still like detailed, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I like when things look beautiful, you know, when they look nice, when they capture like little things, you know, little minute details that you might not have picked up. I don't know. I think a lot of people I think this is where I disagree with a lot of people when it comes to art, is they think it's like anything is art and anything can be art and you don't have to like study certain things or understand certain things to be an artist. You know, art is a discipline just like everything else is. The same way science is, the same way law is. There's things that Da Vinci went to school to learn. There's things that even Picasso, who borders more along the like abstract field, you know, there's things that he went to school to learn. Like you don't just start drawing when you come out of the womb. And it's like what I was saying before, you know, it's not like a born thing. You have to learn stuff, you know, and a lot of that learning comes from just capturing real life.
Mm.
I feel like, you know, it like 99.9% of what you learn from art is just from drawing things that you see in life. You know, so what I'm trying to go with this essentially is that beauty in art for me is like the representation of real life. When you're able to like combine it with whatever is in your head that you're trying to relay. So like if you can finesse that combination in some way, that's what I personally love seeing in art. Not to say that other like types of art are less valid or anything, but just what I personally like seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I try to represent like as much detail as possible in my art, you know, because like even though what I'm representing is like what is in my head,
mm-hmm.
I still want people to see things that they see in real life and be able to use them as kind of a way to anchor themselves onto the piece so they can then start to like interpret it in their own way, you know, because like there's a little bit of familiarity in there, you know, you see, so even if it's surreal and abstract, there's like a piece of it that you can't see in like a real life scenario, you know, there's little pieces here and there, and that kind of connects you to the art.
Wow, dope. You know, this guy, you should write a book, man. You should write a book. Okay, let's end it with the Arrhenia one for now.
Okay. So, the Arrhenia one was honestly probably the most digital work I've done in a while. So I started with these two.
Mm-hmm.
So this, like I said, the series of pieces.
It's based like on the music.
Yeah, so it's the interaction between him and this lady.
This star lady.
Yeah. So, like, what essentially what I was trying to portray in that cover was, like, the lady was just, like, there doing her thing, and Renny was, like, mesmerized, you know, and he's, like, focused on her, you know. So, this lady is in the corner, and Renny is in another corner. I think I actually, like, superimposed him a couple of times. So he's in, like, a couple. So it's like he's looking at her from multiple
angles. All the angles, checking out from everywhere.
Exactly. Exactly. So I started with these two. Then I scanned them, and then I threw them into Illustrator. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, added a bunch of, like, digital bits and pieces here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I should have brought, like, a photo of, like, the final piece or something.
But I'm sure I can get that put in there.
Okay.
Wow, man, this guy, as in, your work is blowing my mind. I wanted to say that as the last one, but that one is catching my eye. So let's check it out. Like, okay. This is the most colorful thing I've seen from you, actually. There's no way I'm not going to share this one.
This is actually another Renny cover for a song that is coming out, I believe, I'm not sure when exactly, but pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, again, it's like another scenario with him and the lady. Mm. And the song is called Stupid Cupid. So it's, again, it's like also, it basically another depiction of him being mesmerized by a lady, you know. It's like a simple concept, but there's a lot of ways you can represent that type of thing, you know.
Wow. So much color. Okay, so I mean, like, I can talk to you forever, but I have this question I ask every guest moving forward, and I'm going to ask you, like, what's something that happened to you before you were 17?
Right.
That is now responsible for all these things?
Yeah, so I thought about it for a little bit, and honestly, my answer is very simple, and it's, I would say, just putting myself out there a lot more. You know, like, when I was 17, that was the first time that I went to boarding school, so I was away from home.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more than I, because I was very sheltered when I was a kid, you know, I didn't go out very much, you know. But when I went to boarding school, I had a lot more opportunity to, like, go out and go to different places and talk to different people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I started to, like, understand things, you know, and put myself out there more and make more friends and explore more things, you know. And that just kind of allowed me to, first of all, it builds confidence. Interacting with people and interacting with the world around you builds your confidence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People are scared of embarrassing themselves, but the world is coming to an end, you know. You can't be over hyper fixating on things like that.
Yeah.
You know, you just need to do things, put yourself out there and do things and meet people and make connections. Mm-hmm. So that's what I started doing around that age, and that kind of propelled me towards the point where I'm at now, yeah.
Okay, thank you for sharing your work and stuff and blowing my mind. And it's my turn to blow your mind now.
Okay.
So you get this.
Okay.
Write a number between 1 and 60. Don't show me. Hide the back of your thing and show the camera.
Okay.
Right? So between 1 and 60, any number you want.
Okay.
That number might be in one or more of these cards here, so make sure you actually know the number and check out all the numbers here.
Okay.
So
I should show the number to the camera.
Point the camera. Hide the back so I don't see it.
Okay.
Okay. Is it in this card, the number?
It is, yes.
It's in this card?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Is it here?
It is not, no.
It's not. Is it here?
No, it is not.
Oh my God, okay. Is it here?
It is not.
Is it here?
No, sir.
I'm in trouble. Is it there?
Yes, it is.
Whew. Okay, let me reach out to the spirits.
You might have met your match today.
I think so, actually. Shit. Okay, I've not seen this one before. Well, let's see. You sure this is the only two cards he's in, right?
Yeah.
God damn. Okay, this one is hard.
Let me just look through the other
ones. Okay, cool. Sure. Just be sure first, because if not, the thing will work. It's not the... God damn, this one is hard though. Oh, my magic will fail today. No. It's not.
Yeah, no, it's only in those two.
Ready to get your mind blown? Mm. I've gotten the answer.
Okay.
48.
Shit.
Yo, lad, thanks for coming here, Gafar the Great. I appreciate you,
you
man.
Have to explain that to me.
Thank you for coming to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.